This Friday, seventh-generation circus performer Nick Walenda will attempt his high-wire walk across Niagara Falls from New York to Canada. Yesterday, crews spent the day anchoring the cable.
It's going to be a challenge, there's no question about it. This is a one-time shot, and we got to get it right the first time, basically.
All of which has us thinking about Niagara Falls. Actually, several falls that combined form the highest flow rate of any waterfall in the world. And it's also reminded our colleague Hitesh Hathi, who grew up partly in Buffalo, of Annie Edson Taylor. Now, our listeners in Buffalo probably also know the story, how in 1901, people flocked to the falls, the streets emptied, to see 62-year-old Annie Taylor, a retired charm school teacher from Bay City, Michigan, become the first person to go over the falls in a barrel and survive. How'd she do it? What happened after? That's the subject of the children's book Queen of the Falls by Chris Van Allsburg, he of Jumanji and Polar Express fame. And Chris joins us in the studio. Gather the children for a terrific story. Chris, welcome back.
Happy to be here.
How'd you come to this story?
Well, after years of writing fantasies, I decided I would undertake a different genre and was searching around for worthy subjects. Most of them have been
covered.
Covered pretty well. But I had a recollection from years earlier about the daredevils of Niagara Falls, and I read about the first person to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. Much to my surprise, it was a woman, Annie Edson Taylor. It was a remarkable story, and I saw Annie perhaps as a worthy subject because she was neglected and because her story was so extraordinary.
Well, and it becomes even more worthy, I think, in the telling of it because you realize, wow, not just a woman, but a woman that you just wouldn't pick out of a crowd as a daredevil. As you depict her, she's got that kind of round, grandmotherly, she's got a bun and little glasses.
She was matronly. She did not fit the image most people would have contemplating female daredevil.
Right. And she wasn't retired and sort of available for this by choice. As we said, she'd been a charm school teacher. And then that folded, and talk about doing a high wire act without a net. That's what it was like to grow old. There was no social
no
security,
safety net.
No safety net.
What people fell back on at that time was family. She was estranged from most of her family. She had married, but it was a short marriage. Her husband, after being together for 2 months, went off to the Civil War and did not return. He was a casualty.
And she was headed for the poorhouse if she didn't think of something to do after she lost her job.
Yeah, she was headed to the poorhouse, which were grim institutions at that point. And she was also, because of the life she'd led, fairly resourceful, had quite a bit of pride.
It's so funny, though, because you point out that meant that she felt she just really couldn't go scrub floors for the same children she had taught in charm classes. So instead, light bulb goes over her head, and she says, I'll go over the falls.
She was looking for the big score. She thought about it, and then as a result of having read a newspaper article about large crowds that were gathering at the Buffalo Exposition in 1901, those crowds were spilling over to Niagara because it's a fabulous thing to see, and somehow it just said to her, big crowds, Niagara Falls, me, barrel, going over.
It's just so great, and she also remembered having been there as a child and being hypnotized. Now, Hitesh, as we mentioned, who grew up there, worked as a tour guide at the falls. Many of us have been there. And we've talked about this. There is something mesmerizing, almost enticing. It pulls you. I don't know if it's the negative ions coming out of the pounding water, but you just feel like, yeah, I'm going to go in there. Do you feel that?
There is that kind of seductive thing. I don't think it's so much different than being on the observation platform of the Empire State Building. You just sort of are drawn to this precipice. And there's also this thing about it's an enormous amount of energy that does not stop. It's thundering, and there is something very kind of compelling and seductive about standing at the edge of the fall.
It's quite something, the mist that kicks up and the noise that doesn't stop and the understanding that that's tons and tons of power coming down, and it will crush you. And so she decides she wants to go in it. She, at first, the men she approaches, you know, carpenters and such, turn her away. But she went about and very carefully designed with this barrel that she wanted to go over it and got people to make it for her, got PR people.
Well, she did understand that the challenge for getting over the falls was not building a barrel stout enough to withstand the force and pressure. The challenge is protecting the contents, the passenger.
You have a great way of illustrating this in the book. You demonstrate that you could drop a barrel with an egg in it, and the barrel would be fine and the egg would not be.
Right, and so, there's a picture of a broken egg, which was on Annie's mind. And so she designed the barrel to her size, put metal handholds, a place for a leather strap, and adequate space for padding, old mattresses and things that were stuffed in with her. Because it's not just the 180-foot fall to the base of the falls, but the ride down through the rapids is in some ways even more chaotic. And her obvious second challenge was it had to be watertight, which means it also had to be airtight. So she had to, well, at least have faith that she could go over the falls in a period of time that would not use up the oxygen that had been pumped into the barrel.
Right.
And critically, not have the barrel pop up on the other side of the curtain of the falls where she could not be rescued.
So now comes the day. It's not just that she had to build this barrel. She also had people who would row her out into the middle of the water.
The day that it took place, there were enough people confident that it was going to happen that a large crowd gathered. They were either going to see history made by Annie going over the falls, or they're going to see something, you know,
horrible.
I guess there were people game for both. Half-hearted attempts, they believe, on the part of Niagara authorities to prevent it from happening. But off she went because they wanted to not have to have her in the barrel any longer than necessary because of the oxygen issue, the air issue. And so they popped her into the barrel on a little island upstream from the falls.
I love a little detail you have here that she made them turn around. Here, this little woman in a white blouse with a cameo at the neck and her skirt and her bun wanted them to turn around because she was going to get down on hands and knees and back into the barrel. And how indelicate.
Very unladylike, yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know what would have qualified as sportswear for a woman in 1901 of her age, but she just wore her Sunday go-to-meeting dress and took off her jacket and her hat and climbed in the barrel.
Well, and then you detail what it was like, as you said, going down the rapids, that place called Point of No Return, a place where if you're in a boat, you cannot pull out of the grip of the falls. And she's banging around like crazy. And then there's a moment right at the top of the falls, and she'd been warned about this, where time stops.
And she'd been warned that when she hit that spot, that the banging and spinning that was part of the rapids would be over, and she would have a few seconds of peace. Yeah. But it was going to be followed by a 180-foot drop. She was warned to, at that point, say her prayers.
Talk about a cliffhanger. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Chris Van Allsburg on what happened next. Annie Taylor survived, but not everyone who tried this did. We're not recommending it, especially because, well, we'll pick up the story in 1 minute, here and now. When last we saw our heroine, Annie Edson Taylor, she was here in a barrel in 1901 waiting to drop 180 feet over Niagara Falls. Now, this Friday, Nick Wallenda will walk a tightrope over the falls. By the way, he's not the first to do that. But Annie was the first person to go over in a barrel. She was 62, driven by adventure and a need to keep out of the poorhouse. Chris Van Allsburg wrote a children's book about her called Queen of the Falls, and he's been telling us her story. So, Chris, the suspense is killing us. I mean, we know she survived, but she fell 180 feet. What did she say that was like?
She said it was like the end of the earth, oblivion. At that point, she would have been probably kind of wet, kind of banged up, pretty disoriented. Hard to say if she could actually have collected her thoughts and consider them in a poetic way. I think she was probably just scared to death.
Right. Everyone inhales, watching from the shore, the barrel plunges down, and then pops back up. And now the moment of truth, they pop open the barrel. How is she?
Yeah, what's there? Because they had been sending animals over the falls, goats, pigs, and they invariably came out of the barrels just, you know, broken up,
yeah.
Dismembered
not
animals.
Good. Not good stories.
They pulled the barrel up onto shore, they popped off the lid, and one of her rescuers stuck his head in there and said, Mrs. Taylor, and a voice answered back, yes.
Where am I?
Where am I?
Yeah.
Because she didn't know she had gone over the falls. She thought she might have just been washed up in the sides of the river after the rapids.
Well, she has some recovery time, but then she thinks her dream is going to come true, that she's now going to travel the country with her PR agent because everyone will want to see the Queen of the Falls.
Yes.
And they do line up initially, but
she envisioned herself going on the lecture circuit, which was fairly common or popular back then because there were no movie theaters. Little towns would invite people into town to talk about their adventures. So she got Frank Russell, a ex-carnival barker, to be her manager. So he lined up these things for her. The other thing Annie did, which was a miscalculation on her part, she knew that the public would probably be more open-minded to an adventuress who was younger than she was. She was 62 years old.
Which back in the day, we have to say, was older than it is now.
Call it 82. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she promoted herself as being 42. She just wiped 20 years away. And so people fixed in their minds what they were going to see when they arrived at this theater. And the theater stage would have the barrel on it. She had a little magic lantern show. She could show some pictures of the falls, but mostly it would be her dramatic description of that day. And it was a failure because the theater goers would arrive and they would see this old woman on the stage. And everyone would say, well, that can't be Annie Taylor.
Timing is everything because, again, 62 then is about 82 now. Today, people would eat that up. That would be the best part of the story, that it was an older woman. But back then, people were literally getting out of their seats and leaving.
Yes.
You draw them kind of snoring or just repulsed by this. And then eventually the whole thing dried up. And she ends her days sitting by a replica of her barrel because, oh, by the way, someone stole her barrel, sitting near the falls selling postcards. Really kind of a sad story.
Well, it certainly was. It was not what she'd imagined for herself. She believed that she would be on the theater circuit and become a kind of a folk hero. But she did end up retreating back to Niagara Falls and deciding that the only way she could exploit what she'd done was this very modest enterprise of setting up a table near the falls, selling brochures, photographs of herself, and inducing people who'd come to see the falls to come closer to her table. And she would introduce herself as the Queen of the Falls and try to persuade them that, yes, she was, in fact, the first person to go over the falls. That's where she lived out her days.
Well, and you also write about a newspaper reporter who visits her 10 years
yes.
after the trip, just before her 10-year anniversary. And she talks about, you know, when she was 9 years old, seeing the falls, being frightened but wanting to get closer, that attraction we talked about.
Right.
She still knew that even if nobody else got it, this was one of the greatest things ever done.
A reporter sought her out. He knew where to find her because she was kind of a town character. And he wanted to know, how do you feel? How do you feel about the way it turned out? You had these dreams. They were unfulfilled. She says to the reporter, if you asked any of these people walking by what they thought of someone going over the falls in that barrel, they would say that it was the greatest feat ever performed. And I'm proud to say that I'm the one who did it. Knowing that she was the first one, and she did something that no one up to that point had ever dared to do.
Yeah.
It didn't bring her the fame or fortune she expected, but she could take that to the grave.
It's kind of a, you know, note to Nick Wallenda.
Well, there are other tightrope walkers. I think he will be the 10th, and there were some who did it back in the middle of the 19th century. There was one fellow who did his laundry from the rope. He lowered a bucket when he was midway across the gorge and pulled up some water and had taken a little washing machine with him along on the wire, and he did his laundry on the wire. He was competing with another wire walker named the Great Blondin, who cooked breakfast. He took a small stove and made an omelet out on the middle of the wire. And there was a woman who did it at the age of 23, who also did it backwards, blindfolded, with peach baskets tied to her feet.
Why would you have peach baskets on your feet? Why are they doing that?
Well, because I think it makes it look so much more perilous, so
yeah.
much more awkward.
And it is.
Yeah, I think it probably is, yes.
So is Wallenda walking a different part of the falls?
I'm not sure where the anchors for his wires will be stationed. These earlier tightrope artists went across the gorge, which is above a very, you know, a real cataract, a real kind of churning inferno of white water. Dropping in those would be as deadly as dropping into some part of the waterfall. So they were all putting their lives on the line.
Something. Well, and you remind us of the first person who ever did, Annie Edson Taylor, the first person to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. Now, children's book author Chris von Allsburg has told her story in his 2010 book, Queen of the Falls. Just so lovely. I was just thinking she reminds me of a shorter Mrs. Doubtfire. But so how did you come up with her? We understand it was your daughter's algebra teacher that you said.
That's right. I asked if she would be willing to be laced up into a corset so she could fit the clothes.
Well, let me ask you that. It's a drawing. I mean, the corset is underneath. We're not seeing the corset.
But she can't get into the clothes, and the clothes were actually tailored for a woman who had a figure which is not natural, which can only be created by cinching in her middle.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
So she said, I'm game. And so we had a 2 or 3 day session of sketching her, photographing her, and I had pictures of Annie Taylor, and I didn't feel it was necessary that she have a sharp likeness. But she did need to have the same sort of body type, and I wanted her to have a kind of a 19th century vibe. I had to build a little box that she had to squeeze into that would make her contort herself in the same way she would need to be contorted in the barrel.
So we could see all these faces that we're seeing of your Annie grimacing and, as you say, contorting. That's the algebra teacher.
As an illustrator, it's always interesting to try to imagine what's the strangest place I can put my viewer in. And I thought sticking a viewer inside a barrel about to go over the Niagara Falls with the passenger and being able to see the terror on her face would be an interesting place to stick the viewer.
Yeah. Chris, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And you can see some of Chris's drawings at hereandnow.org as we listen to some of the fourth movement of Dvorak's Symphony No. 9, the New World Symphony. Now, historians dispute the popular claim that it was inspired by the falls, but reportedly when Dvorak visited them, he stood in awe for some minutes and said, "What a symphony that will be." Mahler also visited the falls. He had a shorter comment, "Fortissimo at last." And when I was a kid and saw them, I said, "Wow." Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.